How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
Do you like fun and games? Do you like supporting the stallery? Check the link below.
It's just really a collaboration of learning from people you work with, people that you admire, and your family roots, right?
Yeah.
I was a young guy in Mexico City that learned from his grandparents and then moved to Tucson, Arizona many years ago.
When you moved?
I was 10.
Okay, because you don't really have an accent.
No, but living back and forth, at least for the first, 18 years of my life,
yeah.
You kind of adapt fairly quickly.
So you are now, I want to say, the third person that we've interviewed who is from Mexico, who is now living in Tucson.
Sure.
Is that like a common thing? Because you're so close to that border.
Yeah, very much so. You know, the Native American roots, the Mexican roots, the cowboy roots in Arizona are deep, right?
Yeah.
And so I always say that about the state because it's definitely not Texas.
Right.
And so you tend to kind of see a lot of that culture, a lot of that, a lot of crossover happen from a lot of us from early age.
Yeah. So now when it comes to cooking with you, from that early age, who were you cooking with? Is this something your dad, your mom, your grandmother? Who was the influence?
You know, believe it or not, grandparents. So my maternal grandmother and my paternal grandfather both were the cooks of the family. And on either side of the family, you always ended up eating in the kitchen, you know?
Okay.
Whether it's a family thing or a cultural thing, you end up most of the time spending parties in the kitchen.
So right.
Being in the kitchen from a young age, whether it was making breakfast or coming up with a cool dinner dish, being in the kitchen was always fun for me.
Okay. Now, you are the executive chef here, mm-hmm. So you're the man in charge. You're looking at the menu. You're, like, producing stuff. Explain to the people at home what kind of menu vibe you have going on here, because it's very unique. It's very different. But it's still, at the same time, super classical.
Sure.
Yeah.
A big part of what we do here at the Monica is the homage to Monica Flint. This lady is the proprietor owner of El Charro Restaurant, which is our restaurant group's 100-year-old restaurant.
Right.
Same family for 100 years. Two ladies have been running that restaurant for 100 years. And so this open kitchen feel was to always make that feel of what we were just talking about.
Right.
Being in the kitchen, being able to walk into anybody's home and just go right to the kitchen and just eat. And what's there to eat?
Right.
Pretty much everything.
Right.
Right? Yeah, From a pizza to maybe some chimichangas to a nice entree.
Right.
Some cool pancakes.
Yeah.
You're kind of having that nice plethora of opportunity of options when you walk into a restaurant.
Yeah.
That's what we are. So we're open breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
So we always have to have a lot of options ready.
What are you doing for breakfast here?
So I mentioned pancakes, French toast. The same process of baking and doing, we make our own focaccia bread.
Yeah.
And we turn it into French toast.
We were actually told by another guest to come here for the pancakes.
Pancakes are killer.
So, just because I would not normally ask this question because a pancake is a pancake, but because I've eaten your pizza and your pizza is not a pizza, what is your pancake like?
We have a cool ingredient that we add to our batter.
Okay.
It's just as simple as me saying vanilla ice cream takes you over the top.
Okay.
That's
awesome. Yeah. And this is, Tucson's going to be an issue for me. Because
this restaurant is gearing up to be a reason to come.
That's right. Yeah. If you didn't hear Tanner, he says this restaurant is a reason to come to Tucson, and I couldn't agree with him more.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
so,
that.
So, I only eat once a day.
Yeah.
That's like
your cycle.
I've been doing it for a while, right? And so, like, when you brought out that food, I looked at my watch, and I'm like, this is not the time of day I'm supposed to be eating. But I looked at this food, and I was like, oh, my Lord. Okay, so I ate it, and it was delicious. And what I loved about it is it was so light, and, like, I was worried about being, like, over full.
Sure.
I wasn't. But now I hear you make breakfast, and people have told me to come here for breakfast. I can't tell you the last time I had breakfast, but this pancake sounds
Tucson
amazing.
Tucson is very eclectic all around, and everybody likes to really eat in their own terms. And I think that's what we offer at this restaurant, is that you're not just stuck to pigeonholed to have one style of cuisine.
That's right.
We're very influenced by, you know, obviously the culture of Tucson, you know, and the things that I mentioned.
Right.
But also be able to, you know, do chicken Mediterranean skewers. Have a keto meal, have a plant-based meal, have a gluten-free meal.
Yeah.
Those are all things that have to be part of the world that we live in to be very approachable and open to many people.
Yeah, man. So I watch a lot of cooking television shows, and I'm always interested in regards to like the background on how the people, chefs, have started their journey. Some of them, no experience working in a kitchen, dishwasher, just at the right restaurant with the right people.
Sure.
Then you have individuals who've gone to culinary school. Some people started out being a butcher, and anyways, they make it here. How did you start out? What's your journey like?
I'm a mixed bag of all of that. So, you know, started with my grandmother and grandparents in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Found a job in a restaurant with people that were really cool.
Yeah.
That allowed me to, you know, learn and really mature into being from a dishwasher to being a cook.
Right.
Finished high school, got into college, and then decided to go to culinary school. So I went to Le Cordon Bleu here in state.
Okay.
Did that for the year and a half that it took.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
came back out, finding myself working in hotels. So I worked for Marriott for 15 years. I worked for Westin for a couple of years. So I worked for a couple hotels.
Sure.
And seeing that side of the business really just continuously molds you into seeing a lot.
You look super young, man, but the fact that you just said 15 years at this other spot, you must like, you don't have to tell me how old you are, but you look great for, I'm doing the math in my head.
I got old and young kids, so I'm a young 44.
Okay. Wow, you look good for 44. Thanks, man. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, so yeah, like you said, you're a mixed bag of nuts where you got all of your...
Yeah, so you start as a line cook, you get into yourself in the lead cook, you end up running a restaurant, then you finally get your chef title.
Yeah.
And in the hotel industry, you can certainly grow within the same building.
Right.
Because you're doing event banquets, you're doing restaurants, and then eventually becoming an executive chef.
Yeah. My background before I started my marketing company and like podcasting and whatnot, I used to be in human resources, right? And I was at this career fair one day, and they had a chef who was there. And I had never really thought about cooking as a profession prior to. We come from a town where it's like very strict, like very hardcore oil and gas.
Sure.
And so like you just like tradespeople, engineers, scaffolding, things like
cooking is a trade.
And anyways, that's what the guy said. He's like, cooking is a trade. And I was like, what? And how he sold it to the kids that day made me, and I don't know how to cook, made me want to learn how to cook in regards to, he's just like, listen, when you're a cook or a chef, he's like, one thing that you're guaranteed is you'll never go hungry.
Right.
It's a basic necessity. All human beings need food. If you get into this trade, you'll never go hungry. He's like, the opportunity to see the world is there. The opportunity to try things that you've never even thought about is there. And like he made it sound so cool.
Sure.
And since that moment, I think I was like 28 at the time, I've just been fascinated with cooking and chefs and like your guys' story, because it's so cool.
Well, you know, it became trendy, right? You went from watching Emeril and Julia Childs to now watching every cooking show known to man with every kind of cool story that have in order to make it fun.
That's right.
But the trenches, the real trenches, where, you know, where kids learn how to cook and cooks learn how to be chefs are not a joke. They're certainly a lifestyle that not everybody can hold up to, and when they say it's hot in the kitchen, it certainly can get that way. But it takes a breed, you know. And we're lucky, I think, in this town to have so many chefs that have done similar things to what my story is.
That's right.
But also bred, raised, and grew within family restaurants to become killer chefs, just a crazy amount of talent.
Yeah. And what Felipe was talking about earlier, he was in, where do you say, Turkey or is it Paris? One of the, I forget, but he was in Turkey or Paris. And I guess like Tucson is being recognized globally as like a culinary like mecca to come and study and taste. And that's part of his job, is like showcasing that to the world. And it's
yeah. So in UNESCO, the city of gastronomies throughout the world, I believe in the States, we're the only two cities in the United States that are considered UNESCO City of Gastronomy.
Wow.
And Tucson is one of those.
Wow. Why do you think that is?
I think the diverse culture, I think that being able to really represent the ground we stand on, right? I told you about the kind of the trio cultures of what Tucson is, but really utilizing the product and the growth of things that are here. Prickly pear being one of them. You tasted that in the barbecue sauce, right? There's so many different things that are here. Corn, grains, pizza, the grains. Those are local grains.
Yeah.
Those are state-grown grains, right?
Oh, okay.
And so I think that's a huge part of it, being able to really celebrate that there's so much to do from what we have.
That's right. Very cool.
Yeah, they come in once in a while.
Get birds? Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, we're going to throw to Nan, and we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Okay, we're new here, first time. We're promoting it so more people from Fort McMurray come. You've been here for quite a little while.
Yeah.
What should people check out when they come here? What's like a go-to spot, other from your restaurant? Yeah.
This is a go-to. Other than food?
Yeah, other from food.
Desert Museum.
Okay.
And I think if you've never been to Arizona, Sonoran Desert, you get to see some really cool animals, really understand the plant life of the desert, because that actually allows you to see, I can cook from that. I can make food from that. I can use that in how it's been used for shelter, for medicine, etc. So the Desert Museum is definitely an iconic spot to see that.
Is that a guided tour or are you doing
No, you can be self-guided.
Okay.
It's on the west side of town.
Okay.
Really cool spot. The other would be probably the San Javier Mission, which is...
Oh, nobody's told me about that yet.
Yeah, it's south of Tucson.
Okay.
Really cool story regarding San Javier. Obviously, more of a cultural religious flow through on that side.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool spot that's been there for lots of years.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think the other pieces are all art-related culturally related with the botanical garden, the museum of art, those kinds of things are really cool to see here in town. Because the talent shows, right? The mural out there that you saw, that's the talent, that's the Tucson talent.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one thing. I've said it in other podcasts, and I said it in a Tucson podcast that we filmed, so sorry if you're hearing this again. I love street art, man.
Yeah.
I've been taking pictures of like all the different...
You guys should go across the street right here in this parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just in about... I think it was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
They closed off the parking lot and they had local artists just paint both sides of the wall.
Unbelievable. So, I will definitely go check that out.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's everywhere you go. So they have murals, which are phenomenal and beautiful. But then you have a bunch of really cool tags that have been going up here as well.
Yeah.
And some really street graffiti.
Yeah.
And it's equally as beautiful. But everywhere I go, I'm seeing it. And so it must be a part of the culture here.
100%.
Like to foster, like you said, They shut that down and they really foster that artistic component here.
You know, I think the other piece too that if you're a cyclist, if you like to ride a bike, right? We have a great tour here in November that happens every year.
Yeah.
But our streets are all bike friendly, so everybody understands and knows riders are out and just what it is.
Yeah.
And part of that is our weather, right?
Yeah.
And just how awesome it is.
Yeah.
And then there's golfers everywhere. Every friend I have that isn't in the industry golfs every weekend.
That's right.
And it's just because of, again, the temperatures and the courses that we do have throughout are pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, my man, these on locations are a little bit shorter than the other episodes, so we're out of time.
Yeah.
That being said, before we cut you loose, you get a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Hey, just thank you to Tucson. Thank you to you guys for coming and check us out. Come by anytime. We'll welcome everybody to fly down and check us out.
There we go. Awesome. Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. Big, big thank you to everybody that watches the show. It does mean the world to me. Also, a big shout out to all of our sponsors. Thank you for your ongoing support. We do appreciate it. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.